It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is ramping up arrests in the Milwaukee area, and city leaders say ICE agents are violating local ordinances.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security said in a statement Tuesday that agents had arrested 39 people across Wisconsin in, quote, targeted operations to apprehend people in the U.S. illegally.
That number has not been independently verified, but the Wisconsin immigrant rights group Voces de la Frontera has confirmed a surge in reports of ICE arrests, especially in and around Milwaukee.
In just a bit, we'll hear from a Milwaukee alder about how the city's Common Council is responding to these developments.
But first, we're joined by Christine Newman-Ortiz, founding executive director of Voces de la Frontera. Christine, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So, Milwaukee Common Council saying there's this elevated ICE activity in the city. What is your impression of the scope of these targeted operations by ICE?
There had been already an uptick. We had seen even before what I would call to definitely describe as a surge, not in the same way that we've seen in Minnesota or in other cities where you have a militarized presence that is profiling and grabbing people, but definitely a surge that is equally terrorizing, cruel, separating families, is violent, and is completely unacceptable. So we have seen so far through the statewide ICE hotline for reporting incidents that, yes, there has been a lot of corroboration that has been, we've also seen a lot of stuff, people in the community documenting the abusive behavior that's happening. So we have, ICE had put out a press release saying 39 to date, and I'm sure this number again continues to occur through the weekends and foreseeable future. I see so right now we have 32 families, people that we're working through, and it's what's striking is the way they're doing these operations is outside of the home because. These are not criminals. These are immigrant working class families. And they quickly move in, close, with unmarked vehicles, surround a car, in many reported cases they're pointing guns at them. And they have broken windows, taking people out. We have, at least four incidents of excessive use of force. And, people have been, parents have been taken away in front of their kids, leaving them completely traumatized. And it has been. And then what happens after that is then people are being quickly, and I mean quickly, moved out of Wisconsin to other detention facilities to make legal representation even harder. To date, I think one of the cases that was highlighted was of a Colombian asylum seeker and her 8-year-old son.
Yeah.
Only today was able to find out, because her attorney wasn't able to find out, but through the congressional office in Pocan, that she was in, still in some ways, thankfully, at the Dillon Family Detention Center in Texas. Mm. And so it's just one example of the extreme trauma and abuse that's happening, funded with our public dollars.
Christine, let's focus on your organization's ICE Emergency Hotline. What can you tell us about recent call traffic to this line?
I know that we have received, and this is maybe, a couple of days ago, 200 calls, and we have trained, trusted volunteers that staff this line, and these are volunteers who have been trained. We have it's multi language, so we actually pay for a service that if someone were to call in and speaks another language, there's an interpreter that can kick in, and it's something where we have seen a need to grow, especially for Spanish and English speakers, to grow this hotline, volunteer staff hotline, to be able to also meet the demand. We saw a little bit of a situation where there you call it in and then they call you back. But regardless, we're still able to kind of follow up. But we do want things in terms of good protocol to centralize through that, because it's a way of not of being more organized and making sure like we're not we're able to track what's happening in the families that are being affected. So it's always good, even if like there's a response, kind of an immediate response in terms of verifiers, that everything does get centralized through that hotline.
In our final moments together, I want to just focus one more time on the 39 people that the Department of Homeland Security said had been detained around Wisconsin, that they were, quote, had criminal histories, including sexual assault, DUIs, police obstruction, domestic abuse, and other crimes. What does VOSIS know so far about the people who have been arrested?
That's not true. We haven't, but we are still on an ongoing basis, and we work in clo very closely with SILC, based out of the Madison area, a nonprofit legal assistance organization, to like screen and try to help people. Obviously, many families, themselves, it's very key to try to get legal representation. The overwhelming, I mean, I have, the overwhelming, the basically everything I've seen so far is people who are going through, we're going through the asylum process. For example, in the case of the woman I just mentioned earlier, who just located today, like she had a pending, she was going through the asylum process and had an upcoming court date in next year, yet ICE is claiming that her court appointment was moved up and she was a no-show, which would make you arrestable. But a lot of the people, in some cases, someone may not have continued. So we're seeing people who are in the legal process, have no criminal record, and so there might be an immigration infraction, but the overwhelming, that I've seen have no criminal record.
Christine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Christine Newman Ortiz is founding executive director of VOSIS de la Frontera. Now, to hear a perspective from the Milwaukee Common Council, we're joined by Alderwoman Marina Dmitrijevic of Milwaukee's 14th District. Marina, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
What can you tell us about this sudden ramp up of ICE activity in your city in recent days?
Oh, it's been absolutely terrifying. If you're going through the streets of the south side of Milwaukee right now, life looks a lot different. People are staying home. They're not going to medical appointments. They're not going to businesses. And people are really scared. And I don't think that's making our city any safer.
In April, the Common Council passed this ordinance that prohibits law enforcement, including federal agents, from wearing face coverings when interacting with the public. There's the Milwaukee County ordinance banning ICE agents from using city property as staging areas. Are these local ordinances being violated by ICE?
I am beyond disappointed that law enforcement itself is not following the laws and the rules that are on the books. Milwaukee Common Council united with the support of the mayor to have one of the boldest, strongest ICE out packages in the country, because unfortunately we thought this day might come, and we want our rules to be respected. It's what we expect. Our Milwaukee Police Department does not mask up, and I see no reason to have faces covered when it's 105 degrees out there.
Can the Common Council make federal agents comply with local laws? What recourse do you have?
Sure, I'm sorry. The Common Council is policymakers. We are not enforcers. That's the police department or the Office of City Attorney. And we have asked them to enforce the laws on the books.
What have they said in return?
ICE said, I heard this just through the media, that they were not going to respect that. So we are now exploring our options from here. But they cannot use city property to stage. And I just don't know why any law enforcement officer should be unidentifiable. That is scary. It's unacceptable. I don't think that people want it anywhere in their city or around the country. And, rather than looking at us and our policies that we passed, I think we should draw our attention to why those agents, federal agents, are choosing to mask up. What are they getting out of that by being unidentifiable?
Marina, the New York Times has just obtained documents that say federal immigration officials have detained more than 10,000 people in the last 5 days, amounting to a nationwide surge. What if this volume of arrests is the new normal by ICE? How could it impact your city?
We won't let that be the new normal. We must continue to organize. Voces de la Frontera, like I said, who was just on, has an amazing network. We will continue to fight to keep our families together. Our city is founded on the backs of hardworking immigrant families. For a child to see their mother or father torn away from them, that is not the new normal. That is not the America that we want. I know we're getting close to 4th of July. I want to celebrate an America that helps all families, all diversity. So we must stand up to it. We must push to keep families together. And I think that's a really important part of our history and needs to be a part of our future.
What do you want to see from local state officials to protect people living in Wisconsin from these actions?
Well, I just don't want anyone to give up or become complacent. It's easy in these times to become a bit hopeless. But we do have the energy. There was hundreds of people in the city of Milwaukee last night rallying in support of our families and our neighbors. These are our neighbors, people that we work and go to school with, people that produce a huge economic impact. And we must continue to keep people together and keep our city strong and safe. It's not safe when people don't feel comfortable going out of their house or calling the police or going to work or the hospital. So this is not creating any safer of an America for anyone.
Marina, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Marina Dmitrijevic is alderwoman for Milwaukee's 14th district. She talked with us about the recent surge in ICE activity in Milwaukee since last weekend. Earlier, we heard from Christine Newman Ortiz, founding executive director of Voces de la Frontera.